Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're here at Hatton Garden, where last night there was a robbery in the vault.
It's the biggest robbery in British criminal history.
They were extremely professional and highly organised outfit.
The first job I got arrested for, I was 13. But Hatton Garden is an itch I could never scratch.
Get scratching, Brian. We'll be dead tomorrow.
If I can round up the right people.
Get some young blokes in.
It wasn't us, officer. We're not capable.
You tell a single soul about this, and I'll cut your balls off.
Nice bloke.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details, or rather a continuation, I suppose, of the previous episode, which was about the Hatton Garden heist. So real quick, like, we wanted to just give you a little roundup of the rest of the story and also how it ties into the Baker Street job 44 years earlier, which is an interesting little thing. Quick summary, they found that their totally secure safe deposit box vault had been busted into, and 73 boxes had been rifled, and millions of pounds of loot had been stolen. And so the press is, of course, obsessing over the possibility of an exotic foreign gang. The Pink Panthers or some exotic Eastern Europeans and Israelis and stuff. But the police were doing what the police usually do, which is kind of focusing on just rounding up the usual suspects. That's what they do. Yeah. And it makes sense. And unfortunately for our crooks, crime has kind of moved into the cyber world these days. And bank jobs where you tunnel into the vault or take hostages at gunpoint really are not nearly as common as they used to be. So rounding up the usual suspects wasn't as hard as it used to be, because the list, frankly, wasn't that long anymore. And also our perps in this case had not really been as careful as they perhaps should have been.
No. Mm. So for one thing, they'd been planning their heist for a long time. I mean, we're talking like 18 months. And during that time, they did what I guess you would do, although I don't think they were as discreet as they could be. They went around and they asked any number of people if they wanted in on the action. And as you would expect, not everyone said yes. So there were at least several people out there in the London underworld who knew about the plot to knock over something big. Yeah. They maybe didn't have all the details.
And of course, one or two of these people might at some point need a favor from the police. Maybe they might be inclined to squeal on our perps, you think? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. And that's the perfect bit of candy to throw at the cops if you're in a bind, right? Because it's no skin off your back. You're not saying, I was there, but if you cut some time off my sentence, I'll give you the ringleader.
Yeah.
No, you could say basically, I have nothing to do with this. That's a favor for you guys. What do you got for this information?
Right. Exactly. It's something I heard. You don't even need to incriminate yourself, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned before, Brian Reeder was considered to be the ringleader of the gang.
Yeah, Brian Reeder, 76 years old.
Yes, yeah. not a young man for a criminal. Yeah. But let's just talk for just a second about an email we received and who Brian Reeder was.
Mm-hmm. Career criminal.
He was a career criminal. And some people, I think I was very effusive about, like, I like this guy. And it was probably a little bit of an overstatement. He's a criminal. He's not a good person. What I probably should have said is, I like reading about this guy. I don't want to have a beer with Brian Reeder. I don't want him to be my pal.
No, I know. I think that I think we could all appreciate it to the cleverness of the job and how it was pulled off. I think we can all get behind that.
Right.
And I do appreciate the fact as well that these guys did what they did without hurting anybody, at least, like, again, not physically. So that's good. But Brian Reeder, he was at one point accused of murder by the police, as a matter of fact.
He was not very credibly accused.
Yeah, but. The case against him didn't really hold up. He was acquitted, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Him and his accomplice, who probably actually was the murderer of the cop.
Although even that is kind of, it's kind of ambiguous, because apparently the cop was hanging out in his backyard and wearing all black and a balaclava on his face and everything.
So they describe him, I don't know as much about policing in the UK as I do in the United States, but they describe him as a surveillance officer. But yeah. I'm not certain how this Noi guy would have known him from any other like burglar, or I don't know all the details.
Yeah, so maybe it was murder, maybe a tragic misunderstanding, and Noi thought he was defending himself. I don't know.
Yeah,
you could have thought the guy was a ninja assassin coming to kill him, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, Brian Reeder may or may not have even been there. We don't really know. He says he was not involved at all with this. But then Noi, the actual stabber, claimed that Reeder was there.
This was like 83 that this happened.
We bring this up, you know, I was aware of this anyway, but one of our listeners sent us a little email saying that, oh, by the way, did you know that Brian Reeder, you said he was nonviolent, but he was convicted, he was actually accused of murder. And it's true, he was accused, and he may have actually done it, but as far as I know, I don't think there was any credible evidence that he was.
I guess I wanted to discuss it. We were just going to cut that for time, but yeah. Because of the email and some reflection. So thank you for the email. We love it when you guys write us.
Yeah, we would actually name our listener, but he didn't want to be named. He wants to be on. But anyway, you know who you are, dude. So,
but it did give me pause for some reflection. Like yeah. Reeder's, he's not like a classy guy.
Oh no,
he's a common criminal.
No, I mean that's absolutely. I mean, there's nothing noble about stealing stuff, even stealing from rich people. It's not noble at all.
Yes, that's true.
In this case, he's ripping off a bunch of rich people who are hiding their wealth in safe deposit boxes. And I can sort of see that point of view. But even so, I mean, really, you know, you can't really. But anyway, enough of our editorializing. Let's get back to the story.
I want to talk about the Castle Pub.
Castle Pub. Yeah, the Castle Pub can be looked at on Street View. This is where Brian Reeder and some of the central part of the gang, there were like four of them that were considered to be the founding members of this little gang. I'll mention them all later. It was Brian, Terry, Daniel, and John, aka Kenny. They spent about a year and a half planning this, mostly at this place called the Castle Pub, which is on Pentonville Road. It's roughly 1.4 kilometers due north of Hatton Garden. So what's that, a little less than a mile, about 0.9 miles? It's like, and so that's where they did it, which if you go look at it on Street View, it's actually a tiny little pub, and you can get it, look it up on Google. You can see pictures of it and stuff. Looks like a very nice little place. I like it. I want to go drinking there if I'm ever in London again.
Yeah, it's one of those cool London pubs.
Oh yeah. There's so many great pubs in England. That's one of the things I love the most about that place. If I ever get back there, that's what I do. I'm not the kind of guy that goes and looks at paintings in museums. I want to go hang out in the pubs with the regular folk, you know?
I'm the exact same way, Joe. Yeah. I want to meet. I'm most interested in what, I mean, I love to see the sights, but I'm most interested in like, what do people in this new place I've never been, don't know that much about, what do they do with their time? Like, how do they occupy them?
Yeah. So I'm kind of more into that sort of thing myself. And so that was not perhaps the most secure way to plan your heist. So it doesn't seem like that was the most security conscious thing.
Although I have tried to think like, if I needed some muscle, what would I do? Well, I don't know. You know, like where you have to talk to people.
Yeah.
And then that's exposure.
Well, I know. Maybe they felt like it was a great, maybe they felt like, you know, who knows if our homes are bugged, maybe we need to go to a public place. Whatever. I don't know that the Castle Pub actually is what got them on the hook from the police. There were some other little things like tech stuff that really, really kind of snagged them, I think.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of the perp's reputation, right? So it's kind of a round up the usual suspects kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then also that they weren't too tech savvy.
No.
Some of the reading I've done on this, which is not as much as you've done, really seemed like the real slam dunk in the case that got them convicted anyway was their electronic trail.
Yeah.
That they left electronic breadcrumbs, you know, phone calls, internet searches. They had, I guess, they had subway passes, like tube passes that had chips in them.
Yeah, and so kind of so you just waved at it a little thing. You don't have to pay or anything, you know. But the problem is those little chips record your position all over the city.
I don't know if they'd let you do this in England, but in the U.S. most of the time they will let you pay cash for those things.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So then they don't know, but. Anyway, plus I guess they thought all record of internet searches just kind of went away when you turned your computer off.
Yeah, that doesn't work that way, guys. And by the way,
very little attempt to scrub their internet history.
And by the way, guys, there is such a thing as a burner phone. You don't have to use your regular iPhone to do this stuff.
It's true. They make burners. I wonder what burner culture is like in the UK.
I have no idea. Probably similar to here, I guess. I don't know.
I don't have the first idea.
You know, we need to start a little crowdfunding campaign so we can go over there and do some research. But I want to give you criminals a handy tip, which if you're going to be doing internet searches for your research, what you need to do is start a true crime podcast, because then you will have a ready-made excuse for all those sketchy internet searches, like how to get rid of DNA evidence or dead bodies or whatever. You know, you just say, hey, it was for my podcast, you know?
One of my big failings is I don't typically use a VPN.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if I ever got the stuff they would find between the movie stuff I do and just my general intellectual diet and the podcast, there are some weird searches on my
computer. Yeah, me too. Definitely. And I'm not sure what to do about that. I'm looking into more secure solutions for
yeah, VPN, man.
Even though I'm not planning it, I'm not planning to murder anybody. it always pays to have a plan to, you know, avoid the searching eye of the government.
Or if you're going to rob a bank or whatever,
yeah,
don't use a VPN.
Yeah.
And get caught because you're a criminal and you should go to prison.
Yeah, we can do that.
So that would be another plan.
Yeah, too.
That's an alternative.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, I'm always on the podcast here giving criminals tips on how not to get caught. Maybe I should stop doing that.
It's like a once a week feature on our show. Joe, yeah. Joe gives advice, and I'm like, or don't. Yeah. You know, be an honest human being.
Yeah,
don't be a murderer or a bank robber.
The way that the investigation was going at this point, the police, beyond, you know, looking at the usual suspects, apparently got some tips or, you know, whatever. And they had certain people that came to their attention, and so they bugged their cars, which apparently you can do fairly easily in England. And then they got lots of incriminating recordings out of that. So that's another tip: is don't talk in the car. You know,
yeah,
do it in a noisy pub. Don't talk in the car.
Leave your phone at home.
Yeah, leave your phone at home because you don't want to talk in front of your phone, because we all have learned that lesson that your phone's listening.
But this takes us back to August of 2012.
Yeah. Daniel Jones, criminal, he started doing internet searches for industrial drills. And so some people say the planning for this job went all the way back to then, which would be like, you know, 2.5 years or so. But I'm not sure about that, because Jones might actually have been doing research for another job.
I was wondering about this.
Yeah, because the other job I'm thinking of course, is January 2013, a burglary at Volksbank in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And very similar to our job here. Our perps tunneled their way to the vault wall and then bored through it in exactly the same manner as our Hatton Garden perps did. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the hole in the vault wall at Volksbank.
Pretty impressive hole.
It is. It's actually bigger than our hole, but a similar situation. Somebody took about a 10-inch industrial drill bit and bored a bunch of holes through the wall till they had this nice little sort of oblong opening they could crawl through.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they used the exact same tools to do this job, which made some people wonder, perhaps, you know, some of the perps were involved in both of these things. And maybe, maybe some of our gang were involved with that.
The only issue I have with that is it doesn't sound like this Daniel Jones guy, he apparently wasn't very good at covering his tracks.
Nah.
If you just as a normal person, right? Mm-hmm. You're not trying to cover your tracks, taking any methods to make sure that they can't trace you. If you go from London to Berlin, there's going to be some record of that, a plane ticket or something.
Yeah. Well, in this case, so it might be that he wasn't one of the usual suspects. Maybe the German police were not looking at British criminals. I don't know.
Okay.
So, yeah, given the fact that he wasn't too good about covering his tracks with his internet searches, you'd think he would have been careless in other ways. But, you know, cops can be careless, too. Maybe they missed the indicators that this English ne'er-do-well was in Berlin at the time.
Do you know how amazing that would be?
Yeah.
If we caught the Volksbank heist?
Yeah, there's a cop listening to us right now in Germany, and he's scratching his head going, all right. Smacking himself
Berlin Polizei and Scotland Yard, they didn't put it together. Joe did it.
I know. And Vincent, yes, I know.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, no connection was ever proven. As far as our criminals go, it didn't take that long to find and arrest everybody, right?
No, they tracked him down pretty quick. It's May of 2015. Cops move on four guys. four guys again.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. That's just a coincidence, but it's interesting.
Yeah, the founding members. Yeah.
Brian Reeder, he was 76 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Perkins, who was 67. Daniel Jones, who we just talked about, he was 60.
Oh, just a kid then.
Just a baby.
Yeah.
John Collins, a.k.a. Kenny Collins. He was 74.
Yeah, I love it.
Those are the guys they busted. That's why they called them the Diamond Geezers.
Dad's Army, the Granddad's Gang.
I have to doff the hat to the Brits. They always come up with better nicknames for things than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. So I guess these guys weren't, you know, Eastern Europeans or Slavs or Israelis after all. Just some old geezers on a last lark to help fund their retirements. So yeah, who can blame them?
And all four pleaded guilty.
Yeah.
Which did that automatically knocks a third off your sentence? Is that true?
Apparently true. Yeah. Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice.
Well, typically here in the States, same thing. If you spare them the expense of a trial, then they will, you know, show you some leniency.
Oh, that. Absolutely. Yeah. Plea deals are huge here. Later, they got four new guys.
Yeah. They did. They four more. Carl Wood, who was roughly around 50 years old. So he was, okay. Yeah, he was really the. One of the youngsters. Another one was Hugh Doyle, who was a mere 48 years old. So they 48. Were
young. He's too young to be in this game.
Yeah, those are the guys that actually had to pick up and carry the heavy stuff, I guess. That's what they recruited them. But also another guy, William Lincoln, who was, I'm not sure exactly, he was around 70, 70 plus when he was arrested. But I'm not 100% sure what his age was. But if you see a picture of him, you know, he's no spring chicken.
That's true. So I looked up some pics.
Yeah. And then last of all, John Harbinson, again, I don't know his age either, a younger guy, but he was actually let off because he was just driving a cab that they used to transport some stuff to a car park where they were going to meet up. And so he was arrested when they were arrested, but it's not clear. He probably actually was sort of in on it, but who the hell knows? And so he
good luck proving that.
Yeah. He claimed to know nothing about it. He was just, you know, drive, giving them a ride in a taxi. And so maybe he was telling the truth. Probably, I don't know. Who the hell knows? I don't know.
That means, though, that Basil is still at large.
Yeah. The mysterious Basil is still at large. Everybody except John Harbison did get sentenced to some period of time in prison. Basil was the, you know, he escaped. Yeah. The criminal mastermind, Basil.
But that didn't go on forever.
No, eventually.
They caught up to him in March of 2018. They arrested Michael Seed, 58 years old, in 2018.
So Basil was nicked, eh?
He got nicked. Yeah. So he was actually an alarm specialist, and he is believed that he had a set of keys to the Hatton Garden building, as well as all that valuable intel.
Yeah, apparently he must have gotten some access to the building because he was an alarm guy. And, you know, maybe that's how he got the keys. I don't know if they actually trusted him with a set of keys or if he just was able to filch a key long enough to make an impression and later make a duplicate, maybe. I don't know.
I've never heard about that, but it is interesting because when I was first looking at this, I was like, you know, when you read to the lengths that they had to go in the Baker Street heist, right, to get the thing, get the, you know, the size of the vault, all the measurements and things they needed.
Yeah.
These guys didn't seem to have to do any of that. And it actually would have been a lot harder because I don't believe that much of the Hatton Gardens building is really open to the general public.
No, you can't just, I don't even know what it takes to say rent a safe deposit box there.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm not sure that they're not just going to let anybody wander in and just look around. Hell no.
Leave you in there with an umbrella.
No, they're not going to do that. And who knows, there's only 1,000 boxes in there. London's a big town. They probably had a waiting list. You know, if you say you want to rent a box, they just say, okay, we'll put you on the list and we'll give you a call 3 years from now when one opens up. And,
some of these places, at least in the States, you got to know somebody.
Yeah.
You don't just call and, you know.
Maybe you had to have references just to rent a safe deposit box in this place. I don't know. So, yeah, the long arm of the law caught up with Michael Seed, a.k.a. Basil. And apparently that was it. I don't believe anybody else. There's no suspected people that didn't get caught, as far as I know, in this one.
Yeah, eventually they caught up to all of them, which makes the research tough, because I definitely have read articles written that look like a modern internet article, but they're from 2016, and it's Basil's still at large.
Yeah, yeah.
To go. So if you want to do your own research on this, check the publication date, because you could get bad intel.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I noticed a lot of online newspapers, too, sometimes they don't even put a freaking date on their articles, which really annoys me.
Or they make it so hard
to find and so tiny. Yeah, I know.
It also just takes so little to update your website.
Yeah.
And be like, update, this guy actually got caught. Click here.
Yeah.
And they don't.
I know.
Come on, man.
But the higher priority is sticking in pop-ups and ads and all kinds of other stuff rather than, yeah. But there was one article that came out about January 2016. It was picked up with some of the other papers. This was, I think, in The Independent. the UK, right?
Yeah.
Which was about our old buddy, Brian Reeder.
So to give you just kind of a rundown, and there's been other articles, I kind of based this research off of this one. I can share it on our social media, but in 2016, a journalist named Paul Lashmar got in touch with an anonymous source who was familiar with Brian Reeder.
Who by that time, by the way, had pled guilty, but he was still awaiting sentencing.
Yeah. Essentially, what this anonymous source weaves is a pretty credible, but remember, this is just an anonymous source. We don't have any way to fact check this.
Yeah.
But that basically this guy, he knew everybody in the underworld of London.
Yeah, and he especially knew Reeder. Apparently, the paper claimed that he was like a longtime confidant of Brian Reeder. That's what they said.
That's how Lashmar plays it out.
And the story he told Lashmar was pretty lurid. And because he told Lashmar that Brian Reeder was involved with the Baker Street heist 44 years earlier.
He says he was like a more or less a mastermind of it.
Possibly. And so as you know, from Baker Street, a couple of people were never identified, never caught. So, you know, could be that Brian Reeder was, he would have been about what, maybe 32 at that time.
Which would have put him, you know, as a contemporary of Gavin and probably some of the other people too. I'm imagining they'd all would have been around the same age at the time.
Yeah. So
that's, I think that's important to remember.
Yeah. So that's, it's not incredible. It's not, it's not that hard to believe that. But of course, and he also threw out another charge, which is that Brian Reeder and the gang at Baker Street pried open one of those boxes. And what they found in there was some really filthy, disgusting photos of an adult male with, molesting children, essentially. Mm. Pedophilia. Yeah. And apparently this guy, they recognized him because he was a member of parliament and actually a cabinet minister, a Tory. Mm-hmm. And so out of disgust at what they had seen, they dropped the photos in the middle of the floor of the vault in Baker Street and left them there face up for the cops to find. And then they left with all their loot. To their disappointment, they never heard a word about it in the press. I mean, there was no investigation. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there was no scandal. Nobody lost his job. It all just went down the memory hole. This is what the confidential source told Paul Lashmar, the reporter.
Right. He also claimed that there was a guy, a shady character named T.H., was connected to a Scotland Yard detective.
Yeah.
So if you remember back to the Baker Street heist, we said it feels like this may have been kind of like an inside job. If you recall, Rollins called the cops and they didn't seem to care.
Yeah.
You know, I also kind of laid out a kind of cinematic scene where cop goes into the Baker Street Lloyd's and he knows what's happening on the other side of that bank vault. Maybe he can hear it or smell the fumes, or maybe not. And he turns and he walks out. Because as I understand it, they basically had him dead to rights. All they would have had to do is, call it in, somehow get into that vault or get into LeSac or whatever. And so I strongly have suspected since before this article was written that the Baker Street heist had connections in some form of policing in London, whether that was Scotland Yard or the Metropolitan or whatever else.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah.
This character, this kind of anonymous source, he pinned it on a guy named Alec Iced.
Yeah, who was a detective, police detective at the time, correct?
For Scotland Yard, yeah. He basically, we could do a whole podcast on Iced probably. He was a bad dude. And he was involved in a number of different heists, providing cover from that for them, taking payments. That just kind of shows that Iced actually was not a name I knew about, but reading this document and then going and reverse engineering, looking Iced up, he would be the perfect contact.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was in the position or not to head off the police from, going by and checking the bank while it was being robbed, but maybe.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And was he actually in place at the time, at the time and place? I mean, at the precinct or whatever they call them over there where the call was received?
So that part, I don't know, but Iced got caught up in a Scotland Yard investigation in the late 70s called Operation Countryman that was an inquiry into the Metropolitan Police. And in that investigation, he was found to be working with the Metropolitan Police receiving stolen jewelry from the Baker Street raid. Mm-hmm. So that puts the Met, because remember, I haven't been able to figure this out because policing in London's kind of complicated. I'm pretty sure it would have been Metropolitan that Rollins called. And they just basically told him to, you know, to saw it off. They weren't interested.
Yeah, we're busy. So yeah, that's another similarity between Baker Street and the Hatton Garden heist, is that the police were contacted also in Hatton Garden and they ignored the call.
But yeah, so all I'm really trying to say, there's this whole thing with Operation Countryman, and like it was more research than I could really dive into, but I did do some Googling of Iced. Mm-hmm. If you go with this anonymous contacts theory, it ties some things together, like we're talking about. Like, why didn't they care that Rollins was catching a robbery in process? Mm-hmm. Right? How do you tie? They say, oh, well, they had connections in Scotland Yard, except for that it was the Metropolitan Police who told Rollins to saw it off. It was the Metropolitan Police who went into the bank and may have actually just ignored signs that the bank was in the process of being robbed. Well, Operation Countryman ties the corrupt Scotland Yard agent Iced to the Metropolitan Police and the Baker Street heist all at once. So that's pretty good.
Well, that is pretty good, but that could also prove that our enterprising reporter just had good knowledge of the criminal scene in London too. This story, even though I like it, it does tie the two together, and it's not totally, like I said, unbelievable. Given the anonymity of the source and the fact that Brian Reeder has never said anything about this that I know of. He never confirmed any of this. And of course, you wouldn't expect him, you know, Brian Reeder, at the time that article came out, of course, he was still up for sentencing. So, of course, he's not about to say, oh, yeah, I was there. He's going to keep his mouth shut. But
I found articles, I think, from The Guardian up until the last couple of years saying, like, is Reeder ever going to spill the beans on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he hasn't. I mean, we might have to wait for his memoirs to finally find out, you know, and I bet Reeder could actually write a pretty interesting book.
Oh yeah.
I think he could. I would definitely want to read that.
Or for that matter, I don't know where all of the members of the original Baker Street heist are at now. I'm sure some of them have passed on.
Oh yeah.
But they could probably tell some interesting stories, and they never have.
But as far as this story about Reeder and the gang at Baker Street finding the filthy photos and leaving there for the police, I'm not really sure about that, because The Independent, of course, is a left-leaning anti-Tory paper. So this whole thing might have just been made up by this reporter as a way of not only, you know, tying these two things together, because Hatton Garden was in the news, it's going to get us some clicks and some reads, but also we can, you know, sort of smear people that we don't like politically at the same time. So that's why I would take this with a little bit of a grain of salt. This whole thing.
The other thing I would say is that in my research, this story about the Tory minister or whatever having these awful pics or whatever, it well predates Lashmar contacting this guy. Mm-hmm. That was a theory that went around in the 70s. Mm-hmm. It is worth noting that there were a number of ongoing sex scandals among conservative Tory ministers in London in the 70s. Mm. I don't know that much about it.
Oh, no, there's that stuff going on all among the aristocracy and in the BBC and everywhere else.
Both ways, Joe, because, right, if you think about it, it could be that ties it together. That's a good connection. And the other thing you could say is, this is just a rumor that this guy's repeating from 1971 or whatever. Yeah.
And as far as it goes, I mean, like, well, if it really did happen, I hope Brian Reeder learned his lesson, which is that they shouldn't have left the photos there. That what they should have done was kept the photos, taken them with, and then blackmailed the minister themselves. You know, why didn't they do that, idiots?
I don't know. They're not blackmailers.
And maybe that's it. I'm a thief. I'm not a blackmailer. But maybe that's it.
I don't know.
But we don't know, too. I mean, supposing for a second, just hypothetically, this is true. Mm-hmm. It may well be that, say, some enterprising London detective saw those photos there, snatched them up, and he himself blackmailed the minister. Or it might be that they kicked it around with his superiors and they took it up the chain, and then it's probably somebody high in the government just said, I'll take care of this. And he takes the photos and he hushes it up, but he blackmails the minister. Even if you're in the Tory party, I mean, having this kind of thing over somebody else in your party, it's like whenever you need that key vote on some issue or another, you know, that guy is going to go along. So, well, I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities here.
The other thing I thought of, and again, no evidence for this, maybe the story about the pedophilic photos or whatever was just supposed to kick up some dust and kind of cut down the credibility of the MI5 connection and Princess Margaret and all that stuff. Reading the tale and then Googling some of the names he did throw out there, he definitely knows his stuff. Like, he's not just talking out of school, but that does not mean he's correct.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, no, it's a great tie-in, though. And, you know, I could, mm-hmm. I can totally believe that Brian Reeder really was there at Baker Street, even if they didn't find any nasty photos.
I also think Brian Reeder, if I were Brian Reeder and this article that I'm reading in The Independent, but there's other ones, came out, I would be the first to jump and be like, that guy's crazy. I don't know him. I didn't have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. He's just not said a thing.
Yeah, he has not said anything. That's a good point. Well, like I said, we'll probably find out someday. You know, maybe posthumously after Reeder dies and his memoirs are published, we'll find out the true dirt. And I can't wait to read the book. But
definitely.
Yeah, it might be a while. He's still around. I think he's still alive and kicking, as far as I know.
I looked. I don't have any. I have no reason to suspect that he's passed on.
Yeah. Well, so that's about it. So the Baker Street heist, the Hatton Garden heist, were they connected? Maybe. I don't know.
I kind of think so. I don't know if they're connected the way this article suggests, but I kind of think so.
Yeah, they were both pretty cleverly planned and executed. And so, you know, again, even though I don't endorse thievery, I gotta give him a little tip of the hat for, you know, good execution. So, yeah, anyway, I don't know. Do you have any more to say about this?
I have said more than I thought I had to say about it, but I just, you know, it's kind of like someone called it Heistapalooza Part 2. I just love that you've got these two things that don't really connect, and it really is an ongoing story.
Yeah,
and then maybe. You start to see them merge. You start to see evidence, or at least the suspicion of evidence, the presence, the potential for evidence that they connect. That got me really excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You never know, too. I mean, even if like there was no direct connection, no two people took part of the same heist, or no one person took part of the same heist. It could be that they knew people who'd taken part in it. Maybe they even, like, you know, served an apprenticeship under one of the original Baker Street heisters, learned all the tricks of the trade from them. You know, I mean, that's very right. Possible.
Yeah, maybe one night Reeder was at the castle.
Yeah,
and in walks Tony Gavin.
Yeah,
he's had a few drinks, and he spills the tea about how he's doing this, and that gets him thinking. He spends 44 years thinking, I should get in on that.
I want to pull off a bank heist. Too.
Yeah.
Well, they did. Congratulations to those guys. Too bad they got caught, but I guess I shouldn't say that. It's a good thing they got caught, because crime does not pay.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't.
All right. Well, anyway, I guess that's kind of it for this week. We're going to have to.
That's everything. Let's wrap it up there.
I guess so. Yeah. So
we will be back next week with a totally new story.
Yeah, it won't be about a heist, probably. Yeah, it's going to be something totally different. Maybe a really disgusting, grisly murder.
I'm moving away. Next week's my week. I'm going to do something that's not crime related.
Oh,
directly crime related.
Probably a good idea. Yeah.
I got some cool stuff I've been digging up.
Okay. So. Well, excellent. I'm looking forward to hearing about it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyway, so folks, you know, stay tuned for important information about our email address and social media stuff. And of course, our usual plea to leave us a rating and a review wherever you download this podcast from. We appreciate it. Thank you. And
please do. It helps us so much.
It does. It's And so other than that, am I leaving anything out?
No, that's everything.
All right. Well, so. All right, everybody. So till next time, ciao.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
You know those popping phone handle things that you see on everyone's phones nowadays? Well, how would you like to put your logo on them? Does your podcast or band need new merch? Do you want to bring attention to your new book or film? Maybe you need something unique for your Patreon or crowdfunding campaign. Then visit thelogopop.com. where you can customize them with the logo of your podcast, band, business, art, school mascot, or whatever else you can think of. These are way more affordable than you may think at thelogopop.com. Mention where you heard this ad and get free shipping on your entire order. Remember, that's thelogopop.com to order your custom popping phone handles. That's thelogopop.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.